welcome you again, and good afternoon or good day to you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again today, and we're going to be back on our study of separation. Thank you for studying God's Word and honoring our Lord. You do that every time that you sit down on purpose with your Bible, and you sit down there to learn God's Word and what God says, and you in your heart want to know what the Lord says. The Lord knows that. The Bible says that the Lord knows every thought. Every thought. And when you sit down there, the Lord knows. I was wiping my lips off, sorry. When you sit down there, the Lord knows that you are fighting the enemy to do that. He knows that. And he honors that. And he appreciates that. That somebody, you see, our God is alive. He's not like these worldly gods. He's not a piece of wood out there. I get tickled the way the Lord talks. And y'all know about your Lord's character and how he talks. Some people just know him as like, he's God, but they don't know nothing about him. You know about your husband, you know about your wife, but you know more than that she's just your wife. You know more than he's just your husband. You know personal things about him. I get tickled in the Old Testament where the Lord's talking about them people that have them gods that they call gods. And the Lord says, show me some other gods. I don't know of any. And then he says, you go out there and you cut a tree down and you cut the tree in half and you cut up the wood and you use that for a fire and you keep yourself warm with it and you make you something to eat with a fire out of that wood. And with the other half of the wood, you carve you out some kind of god that has eyes, but it can't see. It has ears and it can't hear, and it has a mouth, but it can't speak. And he makes fun of them. And rightly so, because it probably insults the Lord. The Lord is the creator of all things. He knows every thought. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the count of the hairs on your head. And for him to go through all that he goes through, and the inconvenience to him probably to mess with us, to give us eternal life, and to do things for our benefit, God don't need nothing. He wants to be loved. And he wants to be loved sincerely because he deserves it. And when people act like idiots and treat God like he's a fool and think they're going to manipulate him, the Lord says he'll meet you face to face. He said there won't be no doubt about who you're looking at when you're looking at me. But, you know, talking about loving the Lord and being devoted to him, the Lord knows our hearts and he knows whether we mean it. And I want to thank you for joining in on these recordings and studying the Lord's Word. And we'll get back into this separation and find some more about it and what the Bible says. What we're doing is studying God's Word and what God's Word says. Amen? Okay, well, so far we've talked about in this separation study, we've talked about exactly what was meant by separation, remember? Referring to separation and sanctification and holiness and saints and all of it just coming together with a basic meaning, talking about being set apart, being separate. Being separate. There ain't nobody hardly in this world except them dummies out there that want everything together. Let's bring it all together. Everything's relative and all this scientific and philosophy and blabbity blabbity blab and get so stupid it's confusing. It's confusion to begin with, and the Lord told us not to get involved in things that minister question after question after question after question. What about this? Or what about this? Or what about this? God's Word don't do that. If you come at the Lord's Word with a sincere heart, it makes every bit of sense in the world. The Lord, God, the Holy Ghost will lay that out in your heart and in your mind, and it'll make so much sense, it'll tickle your heart. You'll want to dance. Set apart. Separation. Separation is like a cuss word to some people, but it ought not be to a Christian, somebody that loves the Lord. And if you're born again, you've already been taught that there's some kind of separation that's necessary. as far as being a Christian. Not that you are being ugly and you want to be away from everything and be away from people. It's for the matter that you don't want to be back in the mud hole that you was in before, because God was good enough to get you out of it. And you're going to be devoted and loyal to Him for what He's done, and practice separation. You know, even people that are not saved practice some sort of separation. And even people that talk about mixing all the races, mixing this and mixing that, all the countries coming together and all that stuff, a bunch of hypocrites. Because you know why? Because they practice separation too. They just hide it. They separate themselves from people that they don't like and people they don't want to be around. A bunch of bigots is what it is. Now, we talked about positional separation and practical separation. And positional separation, you're already set. If you're born again, you're set. You're not going to be, you can't even give your salvation back. You're born again, your name's written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and you're on your way to heaven. You're already there according to the scriptures. You're just in your body right now. Practical separation is a whole different matter. Practical separation is something that we actually have to practice and do on purpose while we're on this earth and while we're in this body. And you're going to have to, there's no way around it. According to the scriptures, as we're studying it, we've studied what is the basis for practical separation, that we are to be separated to the Lord and separated away from ungodliness. There's a two sides of the coin, remember? And, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Bible also tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, not only in our life, you can't do one without the other. It's to make the one coin work, there has to be two sides to it. One, you're separated unto the Lord, to the Lord. And Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least that we can do. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find out, you know what most of... out of all the elderly people, elderly saints, men and women, when I hear them talk, there was one thing in common I always heard a lot of elderly people say. And when they're praising the Lord and they appreciate Him and they know they're getting close to going and being with Him and everything else, I would listen to them and I would hear one thing that was common that they would all say. You know what it was? They would all say, oh, I wish I'd have just done more for the Lord. I wish I'd have just been better. I wish I'd have just done more. You know, that's how it gets. That's how it gets. Because you're going to get like that. The older you get, you're going to want to start doing things for the Lord. If you're born again, the older you get, you're going to start becoming more concerned about what God thinks about things. And at least you should if you're saved. But all the elderly people that I've come in contact with, that was one thing in common that they would talk about is, I just wish I'd have done more for the Lord. I wish I'd have started serving Him earlier and stuff. Just things like that, you know. Being separated unto the Lord, and not only unto the Lord, but away from ungodliness, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We talked about the basis for practical separation. You remember what we talked about? The basis of God's nature. That's a good reason to be separated. Because our God is separated. You want to be like your God? Every person ought to want to be like their God. Why is He God to you? Why do you call Him God? Why do you call Him Lord? Jesus said, you call me Lord, and you're right. I am your Lord. But how come you don't do the things I say? you know, makes sense. The basis of redemption. The basis of redemption is practical separation. There's a basis for practical separation, the basis for redemption. All the Lord went through and all that He planned, all He put together, and still we're not done with His plan. His plan's still rolling. And one day He's going we're going to, His plan goes all the way to the end of the millennium, a white throne judgment. And then from there on, the Bible doesn't say what's going to happen. We're just going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever, the Lord says. But we'll probably just go off into eternity and do whatever the Lord wants to do. The basis of regeneration, the fact that the Lord has changed you on the inside and you've been regenerated, and you not only, you have a sixth sense now. You have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. You have five senses, but you have a sixth sense. You're spiritual. You have a spiritual mind now. You're able to think. You're able to think and behave spiritually. And also the basis of God's word. Remember, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And the Lord expects us to know His word. You know, the kings in the Old Testament, anytime any one of those kings was voted in, I don't know if that's how they did it, but anytime a king come to the throne and he was voted in for kingship, or however you want to say it, one of the requirements under the law for a king was for him to get a copy of the law and for him to write the copy of the law with his own hand, write the whole copy of the law down for himself. In other words, the Lord commanded him that he make his own copy with his own hand in his own handwriting, and write the whole Bible down, the Old Testament, write the whole Bible down and have a copy for himself. That was one requirement. That's pretty good, isn't it? The Lord, one of the things that the Lord required of a king was that he know that law. And the way that he said he'd know it was that he'd get his fingers and his mind and his thoughts and his eyeballs and everything else on every word of God. And he was to write and write out his own copy of it. That's a good way to learn it. So today we're going to start on separation and talk a little bit more in depth and personal about it, about practicing separation. Now, separation is a bad subject according to the world. But the Bible teaches us that if you're born again, you are not part of the world. You don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. You're not going to be here in the world or the world system. You're just temporarily here. And you're on your way to heaven. This is not home. You got to remember that. You got to remember that. Separation from the world is what we're going to talk about now. Separation from the world. You say, well, Brother TV, how do you separate yourself from the world? You get on some of them space rockets and go out there with all that stuff they're putting in space. You get hit, all that trash they got out there. But no, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about the ball of dirt. That's called the earth. It's talking about the world system and the devil's domain. The Bible calls the devil that he's the prince and the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world, the Bible says. It's talking about the system that the enemy has got set up on this earth and uses people for, and uses society for, and uses the world and the nations and everything else having to do with Satan's domain here, separated from the world. You'll see what we're talking about as we get into it. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, if ye were of the world, this is the Lord talking, if ye were of the world would love his own. Now, this is talking about a kind of world that can love. Did you get that? So it's talking about the people that are in the world and of the world system also. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Did you get that? Now you say, I can't understand how come when I try to do good and I'm trying to obey God and I'm trying to do the right things, that's when the trouble comes. Well, Jesus said it was going to come. If you're going to obey God and you're going to separate yourself like the Lord says for you to be separate, and he's not saying to be separate because he don't want to try to save. God's not willing that any should perish. But God's not going to compromise anything to be on the world's side. The world is going to come to him. And when you get born again and you are a child of God, and you're a son of God, you're adopted into God's family now, it's the same for you. Things have changed. Your relationship with this world has changed. You no longer get along with the things of the world. You can't. You're spiritual now. You have a spiritual nature. The Bible says in 1 John, and so in John chapter 15, verse 19, what Jesus said right there, if you were of the world, in other words, you're not supposed to be of the world. If ye were of the world would love his own. In other words, if you were part of the world, and like you was before, the world would get along with you. You'd get along with the world. It says the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, Jesus is telling you what your relationship with this world is. He said, but because ye are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He says in another place that the world hated him, and it's going to hate you also. Hate you because of who you're affiliated with and who you are and what has happened to you and the goodness and the holiness and the good and the right things. Listen to this. According to John 15:19, the believer is in the world but ought not to be what? He's in the world, but he ought not to be of the world, because the Lord has chosen him what? Out of the world. One of the things the Lord done was removed your identity from this world. He's taken, you are no longer have citizenship with the worldly things in the world anymore. Your citizenship is in heaven. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says. Practical separation does not mean that we are to enter into a cloistered life or have nothing to do with anybody or who's not saved. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Jesus talked with unsaved people and ungodly people and wicked people all the time. But he never compromised. And he never conceded with them to be on their side or tried to satisfy wickedness or tried to make excuses for all that. He was separate from sinners. Remember, we read that yesterday. But he was around them. That's not all. Being separated from the world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That don't mean you're not saved. It means that the love of the Father is not working in you, and it's not maturing in you if you love the world. You see, one thing that the enemy wants to do in the matter of the flesh and the world and the devil, those enemies, they are your enemies. And one thing that they want to do is to rob your love. They want to steal your love from God. And they do. And if you ain't careful, they will. It don't take much to get your attention off of the Lord. You have to serve the Lord and love the Lord on purpose. That's one thing I love about him. The Lord doesn't do all these fake relationships like people. Well, we're gonna get married and we're gonna try it out. We're gonna try it out. That's not the kind of relationship the Lord has with us. The Lord made it for long term. I mean, long, long term relationship. Eternal relationship. Do you get that? Love not the world. That's a commandment. And who's saying that? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Somebody says they love God and love the world, they're either lying or crazy. Because them two things can't work together. They can in fake religion. But true worship and true devotion to the true and living God, it don't work ever. They're separate. They are polarities. One of them's way over here and one of them's way over here, and they cannot come together. The Bible says that in another place. So according to 1 John, the believer is to what? Love not the world. Do you love the world? Do you? It's either yes or no. The believer is to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, you shouldn't take that as an offense. You ought to take that as a thank you, Lord. You give me permission not to love this stuff that aggravates me to death. I mean, people talk about how good this world is and how wonderful everything is and positive this and positive that and da-da-da-da-da-da. And talk about how wonderful things are. Things ain't wonderful. Things are getting worse. Open your eyes and look around. It's just like the Lord said. They're waxing worse and worse and worse. And the more man has his hands on things and thinking that he's going to survive and do all these wonderful, wonderful things without God in it, and they've kicked God out. You want to know how come America's in the condition it's in? Because they kicked God out of it. They said, Lord, we don't want you in this country no more. He said, okay, hands off. And you see what's happening? The only reason this country ain't already gone crazy, and well, it has gone crazy now, but the only reason this country was anything other than crazy was because the Lord had his hand in here keeping it from happening. It ain't because you wasn't capable of wickedness and being a wicked country. America would be as wicked as anybody else. The only reason it wasn't wicked was because God the Holy Ghost was in the people in this country and was keeping sinful things from happening, holding it back. When the people decided they was going to vote the Lord out and voted him out, we don't want you here, get out of our schools, quit teaching our kids, quit reading the Bible, blah, 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 the Lord said, okay, that's what you want, you fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the Lord backed up, took his hand. Every time he takes his hand off of this country, you can see. You can see. And if you think things are getting better, man, you're retarded. Because they're not. And I'm not saying that because they're trying to depress anybody. The world is depressed. And entropy's going on, man. Things are wearing out. You're getting older, your body's wearing out, you're headed toward the grave, this earth is getting older, the sun's getting older, everything's getting older. And all the scientists are always talking about, we found this and found that. You ain't found nothing. The only thing you see is what's really going on, but you don't want to notice it. You don't want to tell the truth about it. Anybody that's in their right mind and looks around them and is half logical in figuring out things, and look around and just say it with a common voice, says, man, things are getting pretty bad. And they are. I mean, I understand you want to wish for the best, and you want the best to be happening. But what is the truth first? And what's the honest thing to say? Things are wearing out. People are getting crazy. You kick God out, you go nuts. And your nation does too. You know what you'll do without the Lord? You'll self-destruct. That's what. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, don't blow that up into a whole bunch of, well, what about this and what about this? Just take it for what it says. That's what you do when you read God's Word. What does it say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know why? Because it takes you away from God. It steals and robs your love from the one that takes care of you and loves you and wants to take care of you. God don't ever walk off and abandon you. You abandon Him. And I'm saying that from experience. I know what I'm talking about. I know when I've left the Lord before. Don't you? And I know when He's been merciful and brought me back. I sure do. And you get to the point to where you finally figure it out. I ain't going through that class no more. The Bible says this in John chapter 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Did you get that? God don't have anything down here He's showing off except His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Word, and the church. That's it. Everything else is heavenly. The only thing that's spiritual in this world is God the Holy Ghost, and the church, and the Word of God. Everything else is worldly. Lust of the flesh. That bad body that you're carrying around. And the lust of the eyes. The things that you look at and the things that you have to look at and you see and the things that the world's putting in front of you to look at. The Bible says in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth my heart. And then the Lord said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So your eyes have to do with the way your heart is. What are you looking at? And the pride of life. I'm somebody. Look at me. That's what man does. God made man out of dirt, breathed life into him, into his nostrils. He came alive, and the first thing he done was hold his fist up to God. The Bible says all of that stuff is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's a shame it takes a human being 70, 75, 80 years to figure out, man, there ain't no profit in this world. You can have everything in the world or have nothing, and it all comes out the same way. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. All of it is meaningless. The only thing that counts for anything, is the Lord and eternity. And where you're going when you leave that body. The Bible says, talking about separation from the world. When the Bible speaks of the world in this sense, like we're just talking about, not loving it, it don't mean the creation of God. God's creation is beautiful, even though it is cursed and it's wearing out. It's still beautiful. Hadn't you seen some of it? I mean, anything that you see that you remember on this planet that you find as a good memory or anything like that, you say, well, man, you ought to go up there to Gatlinburg, Tennessee during the autumn, and it is so beautiful. What are you talking about? You're talking about God's creation. Well, you ought to go to Niagara Falls and just look at that and see the power of that water and feel it and just look at it. I mean, it's so beautiful. What are you talking about? God's creation. You ought to go to the Grand Canyon and see that and see how all that water God flooded the earth with and what it then made that big canyon and all that kind of stuff. And you ought to go see it. It's so pretty. Oh, I've seen a beautiful sunrise this morning. Did you see that rainbow? God's all over the place. And God's creation's all over the place. When the Bible's talking about the world and separating yourself from the world, it's not talking about the creation of God. The creation of God is beautiful. That's the only thing worth looking at on this planet. It's not talking about the creation of God, his material possessions and et cetera, and stuff like that. It's referring to the world system. It's talking about the domain of Satan. What Satan, the work that Satan's trying to do on this earth. And what he's trying to do with the human beings. And what he's trying to do in rebellion to God. You see, one thing that you need to do is get back to where you thought whenever you was a kid and you believed in God in a childlike manner. You didn't ask all them stupid questions. You just said, do you believe in God? Mm-hmm. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. That's what a kid will tell you. Childlike faith. They just believe because they believe it to be true. You ain't got to ask them 500 questions and do this philosophy and this figuring out and this blah, blah, blah. You're never going to prove God is. You believe God is. And then God shows you the proof in your heart and in your mind after you believe him. Yeah. But the Bible tells us it's not the creation that we're talking about. It's the world system. It's the filthiness. It's the ungodliness that's in the world. And if you don't, you say, what ungodliness? Man, you fool if you don't see it. How could you even think that? All you got to do is walk out your door, get in your car, and go 5 miles down the road and 5 miles back, and your mind will be so full of nakedness and ungodliness and beer commercials and nasty rock music on the radio and people shooting a bird at you going down the road and people honking at each other and hating each other and, I mean, anything and everything, just 5 miles. The lust of the flesh, 1 John 2:16 defines the world in this way, in the bad sense, not God's creation. The lust of the flesh, that's the things that are in this world that your flesh, and your flesh is that body that you're carrying around. Paul said there's no good thing in it. And it's not. It's cursed. Your body is cursed. That's why it's going back to the dirt and it's going to die. It's cursed. The lust of the flesh. That's all your flesh does is want. You get up in the morning instead of saying, oh, praise the Lord, this is the Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made, and get up and start praising him and reading that Bible. What's that flesh say? Give me a cigarette. Give me some coffee. Yeah. That flesh lusts, and it brings forth sin. When it's finished, when lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death, the Bible says. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Mine eye affecteth my heart. You tell me that this world ain't full of stuff and the world system and the devil's domain here is not full of things that your eyeballs ought not to be looking at? I remember the old commercial where somebody be standing there, a mom and daddy be standing there next to, or, you know, even in society, mama, there used to be a purity in society. No such thing as purity in society anymore. Not even honesty, not even dignity, not integrity, none of it. It's all foolishness and ugliness and nastiness and you tell me. But there used to be a time that if a mama and daddy were sitting there and their kids were standing beside them and somebody said a cuss word, mom and daddy put their hands over the kids' ears so they couldn't hear it. It used to be whenever you seen something nasty in society, mom and daddy put their hands over the kids' eyes where they couldn't see it. You remember? The lust of the eyes. Your eyes lust after things. Man, they want to see that naked person. See that fleshly, nasty, naked body in them so-called bikinis. The only difference that in a woman's undergarment's color. They just call it something different. Right? or lust of the eyes, the lottery. Oh, I was just seeing that money. Anybody see Brink's truck? I was reading or seeing in the news where a Brink's truck up there in the north turned over on a bridge or something like that and spilled the money out. Man, there was people running all over the place picking that money up. Lust. And the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The pride of life. Well, I'm somebody. And because I'm this color, I'm somebody. Because I'm so pretty, I'm somebody. The pride of a face. The pride of a race. The pride of grace, even. Well, I'm forgiven. I can do anything I want to do. You see? These are the enemies of purity and honesty and integrity and goodness and 1 John 2:16 warns us about that. We're talking about being separate from the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the bad sense of what the Bible's talking about being separate. It's not talking about being separated away from God's creation. Why would you even want that? God makes some beautiful things, and it's precious whenever you get to walk around spiritual. And what a privilege to be able to walk around and look through spiritual eyes and see God's beauty. Man, I seen a butterfly the other day. I ain't never seen in my life that was so beautiful. I sat there and looked at him. I ain't never seen a butterfly that pretty. And you can see, and God will show you these things. And you can see it everywhere. According to James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." It's not he is your enemy. You are God's enemy if you want to be friendly with the world. Now, that's what the Bible says. It's either true or it's not true. And I know it to be true because anytime I was out there trying to be friendly with the world, I was trying to get as far away from God as I could get. Wasn't you? Ye adulterers and adulteresses. God's comparing this to a nasty relationship, a marriage relationship, of being an adulterer and going off and fornicating against your spouse, or an adulteress going off and fornicating against your husband and committing adultery. He said, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" You make yourself an enemy with God by making friendship with the world, because they cannot come together and they cannot concede. They can't get along one another. It's just not possible. They're opposites. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend," it's your will. Your will chooses this. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I ain't talking a bit about being nice to people and helping people out and doing things for people and being a kind and honest and generous person. It's talking about the world and loving the world and wanting to be friendly with the world. It's not going to work. You can't be friendly with the world and be spiritual at the same time. And it ain't talking about friendship as in person to person. It's talking about friendship as in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You see where the world's going to end up? The Bible says that the world's going to pass away. Now, that's what God said. He's going to burn it. And he said that the lust is going to pass away. So in 1 John 2:17, the Bible teaches us that doing what? The will of God is the most important and most enduring thing that we can do. You want things that matter. You want truth in your life. You want fulfillment in your life. You want those things that you're seeking all the time and can't find. Quit looking for them in the world because they're not out there. That's why people try this and then it don't work, so they try this, and this don't work, so they try this, and this don't work. Go out and let somebody talk them into spending $75,000 for a pickup truck, and they go home with a $75,000 bill that they're in debt now, and think that driving it around is going to make you somebody or some blobbity blob. First thing you know, you get a scratch on it, and it's all over. Now you owe $75,000. Didn't work. It's no fulfillment in this world. No fulfillment. This world is headed for an oven. The Lord's going to burn it with fervent heat, the Bible says. It's going to be so hot, it's going to burn the elements. It's going to burn the things that you cannot see. Not only the things that you can see, but the things you can't see are going to burn. Peter said that. Now, talking about separation from the world. Now, we know what the world is. We've talked about that. We've talked about the enemies, the things that try to drag us into the world and be friendly with the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Now, in James chapter 4 and verse 4, we talked about the adulterer, what God thinks about it, and what God classifies you playing around in the world. It's the same thing as being an adulterer or an adulteress. You are not in the family of this world. You're in the family of God now if you're born again. You're a son of God. And the Lord says if you go and be friends with the world, it's the same thing as being an adulterer or an adulteress, that you're trying to bust up the family. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible instructs us to be not what? To this world? Well, let's read it and see. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that mean? Well, what's being conformed? What is conformity? It means getting so close to something and so like something else that you begin to look like it. And you start conforming into the image of whatever it is that you're loving. See, it's going to go one way or the other. The Bible says that the Lord is trying to conform us into the image of His Son, trying to make us like Jesus Christ. When you got saved, God the Holy Ghost came into your body and He began to start teaching you to get rid of things, to bring things into your life, to start thinking this and start forgetting that. And it started changing you. And He said that to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, your mind thinks, as far as being in the world, your mind is full of a bunch of garbage and full of a bunch of things that are not good for you, and you have to admit that. It takes a long time to transform a mind, brother, sister. It takes a long time to forget things because your flesh don't want to forget things. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? How? What for? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life and what it's doing for you. And what God is doing for you. And how He has changed you and the good that He's brought into your life and the acceptable things that are in your life now and the perfect things. And not only that, all of it is the will of God. And it's beautiful. But as far as being friendly with the world and being separate from the world, you're going to have to be separate from the world if you're going to be pleasing to the Lord and you're going to be conformed into the image of Christ, because the world's not going to give you any of that. Ain't nothing for sale in the world that has anything to do with Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing, no giveaways, no free this, no free that, nothing. There used to be. when people love the world, when people love the Lord, as far as there being more Christians than there were ungodly people in the country. But it's not that way now. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 instructs us to be not what? Conformed to this world. Don't look like the world. Don't smell like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't agree with the world. And don't take the world's side. Whose side are you on? Everybody has to be on a side. That's how come the world, see, that's like the world. God would never do that. Let's all come together. Let's make everything relative. Everything is relative. You're my friend. I'm your friend. We're all brothers and sisters and everybody. And what's right for you is right for you. And if it's not right for me, that's okay. Because whatever's right for me is right for me. And it's not right for you. And what's right for you is right. Blobbity, blobbity, blob. Everybody knows that ain't the way it really is. That's not the way it is. That's the way you want it to be, because you're wicked and you want to hang on to your wickedness and you want to live in the world and be wicked, and you have to make some kind of way to do that because you can't change God's rules. And you can't change what reality is and what's real. So you got to change the way that you can keep your sin. That's the way it is. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what a spot is? You standing by a chalkboard and had a piece of chalk in your hand and you reached over and the chalkboard's all clean and everything. You turn around, you just take that chalk and you dot the chalkboard one time. That's a spot. The Lord said, he wasn't talking about just have your legs full of wickedness. And he said unspotted. Unspotted. Not even a spot on you. Now, I ain't got nothing to do with trying to be better than nobody. Nobody thinks that they're better than anybody when they're trying to do the will of God. It's impossible. When your heart is sinked into wanting to do the will of God and you're sincere about it and you're being as honest in your heart as you know, that's the farthest thing from your mind that there is, that you're trying to be better than anybody. Because God's Word don't teach you that you're better than anybody. It teaches you that you're a heathen. That Bible ain't got nothing good to say about people when it comes to this world and it comes to sin. That's how come people don't read it. That Bible tells you who you are and what you are and what you're up to. And it tells you you better get it right because you're going to meet your God face to face. And there will be one day that's going to be too late. It's coming. Now, you can ignore it, and you can go out there and put everything in your life that'll cover it up and hide it and keep it from you from thinking about it. Fine. But when you're walking along on the sidewalk one day, and that door opens up under your feet, and you fall down in, and you go into eternity, it's over then, buddy. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. If you say that you love God, this would be kind of like what you be more like the way you think. To visit the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What's visiting the orphans and visiting the widows while they're afflicted and they ain't got a husband no more and they can't keep do for themselves and stuff like that? What's that? That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. You care more for somebody else and their problems than you do for yourself. That's what real religion and pure religion is about. It's about sacrifice because your Savior sacrificed. And now you're being like your God, you see. It ain't being like the world. The world is not sacrificial. The world is selfish. The world is get, me first, you last. And I want everything, and I want yours too. And I'm going to do what I can to get it. I'm going to step on everybody I need to step on to get to the highest place I can get. That's the world's way of thinking. And I better hide my stuff and keep my stuff and build bigger barns and put all my stuff in there so nobody can get it from me and then pay insurance and keep it locked up and everything else so nobody can get my stuff. Instead of sharing it with everybody and helping people out when they need to be helped out. And then not only that, but to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Not even a spot. Now that's what the Bible teaches about separation. And if you're going to live for the Lord and you're sincere about it, that's the way it's going to have to be. Because you're not going to be able to be in the world. I don't know what you do. Brother and sister, I don't know what you're messing around with the world is, and I'm not going to try to guess it. But I know in my own personal walk with the Lord, when I mixed anything about myself in the world and tried to take a little bit of the friendship of the world, it hurt me. Because I can't get God out of me anymore. I'm saved. I'm in God's family. I can't walk away from His family and don't really want to, but I've tried before. And when I did, I'm sorry for it. And I don't do that no more. I'm not going to. But the world's always trying to grab me. It's always trying to tempt me, always trying to give me something to look at, give me something to smell, give me something to see. Look. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The world's always trying to pull the Christian away. When you try to think of God, especially when they find out that you love God, oh, we got to get this person out of that. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 27, I'll read it one more time, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You say you love God? Then you ain't got a problem with being separated from the world because your God is separated, number one, separate from sinners. God does not tolerate. He has all the dignity in the world. The Lord is not going to sacrifice his holiness to save you from anything. If you're going to do anything, you're going to do it God's way if you're going to do it right and you're going to do it honestly and sincerely. You're going to do it God's way because God's way is the perfect way, isn't it? And God don't need anything to make him any better. The reason God's made things, has things the way he has it is because he's perfect and he wants you to be perfect. The Bible says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I'm not talking about fake holiness. I'm talking about sincere holiness. That we rely on the Lord to keep us right because we know who we are and what we are and what we're capable of. Right? Yeah. Separation from the world. Now, one last part I want to talk about right here is as far as being separated from the world. What kind of things are we talking about here? Let's just nail it down. Let's just name the names that the names are and see what we're talking about when it comes. I mean, the lust of the flesh, that's a wide variety of something. I mean, what is the lust of the flesh? All right. The lust of the eyes. What is that? And the pride of life, what is that? I mean, anybody can say you be separated from the pride of life. Okay, what is it? All right, well, let's see what the Bible says. The worldly Christian is one that's given over to pleasing the flesh. The old sinful nature that's still in you, in your flesh. You see, You remember the old cartoons whenever the fellow would be standing there and he'd be tempted with something and he would look like, oh, better not have nothing to do with that. And then all of a sudden a devil would pop up on his shoulder with a pitchfork and be sitting there trying to whisper in his ear and tell him, yeah, go ahead, go ahead. And then an angel would pop up on the other shoulder and he'd be having that battle back and forth. That's the way it is. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. And there's devils and unclean spirits and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are all trying to tempt you to do evil things and wicked things and things you ought not be involved in. But God the Holy Ghost is in you and directing you and comforting you and teaching you. That is the way it is. The Bible teaches that. So let's talk about this. It's, the works of the flesh are listed in Galatians chapter 5. I mean, they're listed in several different places, and there's a lot of them. But if you want to name the names about what we are and what we're capable of and what we do without God, they're in there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Get your pencils here and let's make a list. And you'll see what we're talking about. Here they are. I'm going to read them. And this is not all of them. There's some listed in, I think, two other places that go along with these that are different than these. But we'll just read these today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're revealed. You can tell by looking at them that they're works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Number one, adultery. Is there adultery going on in the world today? Are you kidding? Fornication. What's fornication? Any kind of sexual behavior outside of a marriage and a marriage bed. Fornication. Uncleanness. Is there such thing as uncleanness in the world as far as flesh goes? You better believe it. Lasciviousness. That's the being lascivious or lasciviousness is how do I want to say it? It's like you can't get your mind off of sexual ungodliness. It's a super lust. I don't know how you describe it. There's a definition of it. I know what it is, and I know what it is, but I don't know how to explain it. But it has to do with not being able to, in other words, your mind is done and your flesh has done got to the point to where all it does is think of nasty stuff. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. That's not idleness as far as standing still. That's idolatry as far as worshiping anything other than God. Like money. Some people idolize their money. A lot of people idolize their money. But not just money, other things. There is religions on this planet that use idols all over the place. You can buy a god, statue god, and set them in your house to pray to. Yeah. Matter of fact, there's one religion that's got a store in case you break one of your gods, you can go buy another one. I mean, they got all kind of gods. You want money, you need money, you get the god of money and you pray to it. You want this, you get that god. You want the big toe god? Your big toe hurts? Get the big toe god. And got a store you can go buy them at. Set them up in your house and pray to them. That's idolatry. And God hates idolatry. But that's a work of the flesh. Witchcraft. Yeah. Witches all over the place. Hatred. Is there hatred in the flesh and in society? Yes. Variance. I looked that up one time, but I can't remember right now what variance is. I'll have to get back to you on that. Emulations. Wrath. Is there wrath? Strife. Strife like crazy in the world now. Seditions. Heresies. Getting away from the Word of God. And a heretic is somebody that left what they once believed. Seditions is getting people and ganging up on it. Envyings. Who can stand before envy, the Bible says. Murders. Check your local booking report. You'll see murders all over the place. I was looking at a booking report for the sheriff's office. Booking reports, when they give that, you can look at it. It's a public document that you can look at every day that the sheriff's office or the law puts out of who they arrested the night before. I looked at one just not even a week ago, a day somewhere, maybe 4 or 5 days ago. I don't know exactly, but it was less than a week ago. It had 9 murders on it. 9 people arrested for first-degree murder. 9 of them. Murder. The Bible says that's the work of the flesh. Drunkenness. Revelings. Revelings is just going and revelings in German means to drink it all the way down to the last drop. And the Bible says, here it is, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, and as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is spiritual. In other words, what he's trying to tell you, if you're taking part of the world and you have this stuff in your life and you're participating in this stuff or causing it or doing it, and you're walking in the flesh in any of these ways, you cannot be spiritual. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. And that's not even the whole list. There's a couple other places in Scripture that's got another list of some of the uglies that humans are involved in and when you're in the world. Talking about separation from the world. Do you understand this? I mean, doesn't it make sense? Isn't God right? Of course he's right. The Lord don't want to. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from them that love him. Now, if the Bible's lying, that's one thing. But if the Lord is not lying, and he said no good thing would he withhold from you if you love him and you do what that thing that's right, then why is God withholding or telling us to get away from these things if he says that no good thing that he'll withhold us from? Because ain't none of these things good. Adultery ain't good. Fornication ain't good. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, sorcery. All this stuff, that ain't good. God said that if it was good, he won't withhold it from you. He wants you to have good stuff and good things. But not this kind of junk and trash. And if you told the truth, you know it's trash. It's things that need to be separated from. If you're a Christian and you're born again and you're a child of God, and even if you're not a child of God, you'd do good to stay away from these things. Even an unsaved man does better in his life not having that stuff in his life, doesn't he? But talking particularly particularly to Christians, separation from the world. Well, we'll stop right there, and we'll talk about some more on the next recording. That's probably enough to shoulder right now, ain't it? He got every one of us in there, didn't he? Sure did. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that don't mean the Lord's just saying that if you don't accept His Son, all of these things are going to cause you. I mean, He said liars. Doesn't that include all of us? I mean, just liars by itself would get us all, wouldn't it? Thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and for grace, right? Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No works involved in it. All you got to do is trust in Jesus, and Jesus' payment of His blood on the cross will pay for everything. It'll pay for everything. It did for me, it did for you if you're born again, and it will for anybody else. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you're saved, you are supposed to be separate. And the Bible teaches that, not because God's trying to be ugly or be hard to get along with. God wants the best for us. He don't need to be separated from heresies and envyings and murders. God's not part of all that. God wants us to be like Him. And the reason we don't understand that is because we are sinners. And we don't know what it's like to be holy. But we, after we get born again and God the Holy Ghost dwells in us, He starts teaching us these things. And you start finding out what it's like, what holiness is all about, and what living for the Lord, and what truth is, and what honesty is, and what dignity and integrity and walking before God is. We do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Separation from the world. Amen. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. You ready? John chapter 15, verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. James chapter 4, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 27. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now, if you in your life, and since we've been studying this, being separated from the world, if God the Holy Ghost has shown you some things and said some things to you about any of this stuff that we're talking about, the works of the flesh, all you have to do is confess it to the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's something you need to confess to Him, confess it. And confession ain't talking about just saying, okay, Lord, I done wrong. One of those things I had to do with. No, you name it. You say that this is what I did. This is what it was. This is what I meant to do. I planned it. I did it. And Lord, I'm sorry for it. And I ain't never going to do it again. Please forgive me. And if you mean that, the Lord says He'll forgive you for that. He'll erase it, take away the guilt, and He will cleanse it. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness, even the things that you don't know, that you've forgotten that you did, that you haven't confessed. He'll forgive you for them too, every time you confess. He made a way out for us, didn't He? He not only paid for all our sins. In the past, it's over with. But now, if we commit any sins, He's made a way to where we can confess it and get rid of the guilt. Isn't He wonderful? Praise Him. Praise our wonderful, wonderful Lord. Well, all right, this is Brother Thurman, and it's been good talking to you. Good studying with you. And this is good stuff, isn't it? Separation. If you mean it, it's good news to you. And if there's some things that you need to get right with the Lord, get them right. We'll go back into some more and talk about some more stuff. We'll get to talk about some areas of personal separation. Areas of personal separation on our next program. Till then, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.